the King. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. And we're going to be looking at this verse as a springboard, if you will, and then going into a few other verses here this evening as we go through these points here. And I covet your prayers this evening, and me and Brother Delaney and a few other men this week have been taking a class. It's a module, and it is a 13-week class. It's in Dover, Delaware through Independent Baptist Seminary. 13-week class crammed into 3 days. And today was day two, so it's 2 days down, and there's been a lot of information flooding into our minds, and so I need your prayers, if you will, and the Lord would give me clarity of mind through the message this evening, and just asking the Lord to just do a great thing there. But Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, and notice the Bible says this, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Now notice there at the top of the handout, of course, with Soul Winning Helps, it says wrong beliefs about evangelism. Now what we just read there is not wrong at all. But we're going to discuss some things tonight that are wrong beliefs about evangelism. And these are things that we need to understand what people say, because there are going to be ones that try to combat what we're doing. They're trying to combat how we are out soul winning and knocking on doors and trying to win people to Christ and trying to help people to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and all of that. And here in this verse, we know, of course, in the book of Acts, that it is the beginning, if you will, the beginning stages of the church. I believe the church started with Christ and his disciples. It was empowered at Pentecost. And we see here in the book of Acts that as they are going about their days, they are doing exactly what Christ told them to do. And it says there, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There was a lot of people getting saved, and therefore a lot of people teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. And we need to be doing that today as well. So let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, and we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we go through this series of Soul Winning Helps, Lord, that you would continue to guide us and direct us. And Lord, help us to be greater witnesses of you, Lord. It's the command that you gave to us right before, Lord, you ascended into heaven where you are today. Lord, you told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Lord, I pray that we'd be adequately prepared, Lord, to fulfill this job that you have told us to do. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our hearts and our minds tonight, and I pray that we'd be fixed on you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice wrong beliefs about evangelism. You know, in this world that we live in, there are churches on every corner. Back when we first moved here to Oxford, I counted the amount of churches that are just in Oxford. And it was amazing to me. I believe it was just under 20 that have an Oxford address, places that call themselves churches. Now, that is everything all over the spectrum, if you will, but they call themselves a church. And what you're going to find is across those churches, there are many different ideas on what a Christian is, many different ideas on what a Christian is supposed to be, the many different ideas on what the Bible says, and most of them have a perversion of the Bible. It's not the actual Word of God, but the truth of the matter is this: if we are not careful, we will find ourselves in the midst of a battle in our minds what it is that we've truly been called to do. Because the truth is this: there are many churches out there that do not go out and do not try to win souls. And what Satan wants us to say to ourselves, and what he wants us to believe, is this: well, they're not doing it, and it looks like they're growing, therefore you don't have to do it either. That's the wrong assumption. It doesn't matter what man does. We need to obey the Bible. We need to obey what God has told us to do. But we find ourselves many times in that battle, about what it is we've been called to do. Now, the way to fix that battle or win that battle every time it comes into your mind is to open up the Bible and start reading it, and you'll find very quickly what God has called us to do. But the idea of evangelism or soul winning, as we refer to it today, it's not something that that is just an American idea. It's not something that's just a Western culture or just Eastern culture or something like that. No, it's something that we find all throughout the New Testament. It's something that we find even with John the Baptist. What was he saying? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was telling them, he was evangelizing them, telling them about the coming Christ, and that's what we are to do. However, there are things out there that hinder the work of God, and they are dangerous if we fall into that trap. They can be eternally damning to a person's soul if we do not do it the way that Christ has told us to do it, giving out the message that Christ has told us to give out. You know, the truth is that we need to be carrying out our orders from headquarters, amen? And our headquarters is not some Baptist association somewhere or something like that. No, it's the our headquarters is in heaven. That's where we're looking to, amen? But we have the manual right here in front of us, the very words of God right here that tell us what we are to do. So some of these things we're going to discuss tonight, they are wrong beliefs. And we're going to discuss these and also talk about why they are wrong beliefs as well. But I want to plead a simplicity, if you will, tonight. And as we go through these things, we're going to look at these, and being in a independent, fundamental Bible-preaching church and Bible-believing church, we may look at these things and say, how could someone believe that about what God has told us to do? But you would be very surprised to find out how many so-called fundamental churches fall into these wrong beliefs here. Some of these things we're going to talk about tonight are believed and even carried out by what we would consider to be good people. Even some that we would call themselves believers, but we need the Lord's help to have the right beliefs about evangelism and be aware that there are wrong beliefs. So I'd like to do this tonight, point out and expound on some wrong beliefs, and then we will see also scripturally through verse or principle how we are to combat those teachings and those beliefs as well. Now, we must understand that a lot of criticism that a soul winner and that a evangelist, if you will, biblically speaking, one that goes out and proclaims the word of God, most of the criticism that we will receive will not be from unbelievers. It will not be from the non-religious crowd, if you will. Most of the criticism that you will receive will be from ones that call themselves believers, ones that maybe go to church every Sunday. But understand this, we must not let that discourage us. We must not allow that to get us down. The ones that this criticism will come from, understand this, they have to criticize what we're doing. They have to criticize someone believing and obeying what God has told them told us to do. They have to criticize that to make themselves feel better about their self-righteousness. Amen. But we need to keep going for God. So the first wrong view of soul winning, wrong view of evangelism is this: it's all emotional. You know, it's amazing to me how many times someone will say, well, if you go out and you knock on doors and you tell someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ and all you're trying to do is get their emotions stirred up. Well, when it comes to emotionalism, we would have to admit that there are many places, many even so-called churches today that operate that way. They feed on people's emotions. They play on people's emotions. They do that in large form by music. They will do that and, and trying to get the emotions worked up. Of course, you know my background. Of course, it was not Independent Fundamental Baptist, and I can guarantee you every single service there was music that was there that was not there in order to glorify the Lord. No, it was building people's emotions. Now, if you ask the ones that were playing that, they say, oh no, we're playing this for the glory of God. No, you're playing that to get a response from people. That's what you're doing. It wasn't lifting up the name of God. No, it was in many ways. It was just like we read in the book of Exodus when they were coming down the mountain there, and it sounded like war in the camp. That's exactly what it sounded like. They were trying to work on people's emotions. Evangelism is not all emotional, but we'll get to some more about the emotions here in just a moment. In churches, it is seen as emotional, and many times even in outreach as well. There are some people who think it's their job to be confrontational to get people worked up. Some people think, well, if you go out and you're trying to evangelize and nobody gets mad at you, then you didn't do your job. Well, we're told to preach the truth in love, are we not? We're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, look, I understand there's going to be people that get mad. There's going to be people that slam a door in your face. There's going to be people that say, leave and never come back. There's going to be people, I'll get phone calls here that say this, I don't know how my name got on the list, but don't visit me anymore. Well, it's not a list that we're coming to visit. We're just on the street, amen. Your name got there when you moved on the street, amen. But the truth is this, people are going to get upset. People are going to get mad. But it's not our job to make them mad. But some people think it is. I know some men who are college campus preachers, and I believe that is a very needed a thing today, ones that will go onto these college campuses, and I know one man that's doing a great job with that. He's sent out of Woodlawn Baptist Church in Bowie, Maryland. He's doing a great job on college campuses all the way across the nation, and he's got seeing people saved and holding Bible studies and all of that on some liberal campuses, mind you. He's doing a great job, but there are some out there that think as though if they don't go on the college campus and make someone mad, well, they just didn't do what they were called to do. But the truth of the matter is this, it's not our job to stir emotions. It's not. It's our job to declare the truth. You know, it's not our job to fabricate a response in people's minds. No, it's our job to tell them what the Lord and Savior did for them. It's our job to do what we've been called to do. It's our responsibility to allow the Holy Spirit to work in them and convict their heart. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37, if you will. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. We're going to read down through verse 41. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. The Bible says this, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I want you to notice there in the book of Acts, up to this point, up to verse 37, when it says in verse 37, now when they heard this, it's talking about the message that Peter had just preached. Now the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost, and Peter comes out and he preaches a powerful message to these people. What happened? They were pricked in their hearts. What happened? They realized that they were sinners. They realized they needed to be saved. Was a message delivered? Yes, a message was delivered. A very powerful message. Was the Holy Spirit at work? Yes, it was. Could we say that their emotions were affected? Yes, we could say that. But understand this, that Peter was not preaching a message just to affect their emotions. Their emotions were affected when the Holy Spirit pricked their heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand that when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to soul winning, when it comes to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is never to be emotion led. But that doesn't mean it's emotionless. But people will say, well, I don't believe in evangelism because it's all emotional. It's just a toying with people's emotions, if you will. Well, the word emotions, it means this. It's a mental state that arises spontaneously rather than through conscious effort and is often accompanied by physiological changes. It is a feeling. Emotions are not a bad thing. We're all emotional beings. Every one of us, some are more emotional than others, amen. We will leave the names out to protect the innocent, but there's some emotional people, we all know that. There's many people that we would say that is an emotional person. Emotions are not a bad thing. We are emotional beings. However, when it comes to evangelism, we should not try to stir the emotions just to get a response. We should allow the Word of God to bring them to the knowledge of their sin. It is not all emotions, but emotions are very real. We have feelings and emotions. And can I say this here tonight? When we are going through the Word of God, or when we're singing the great hymns of the faith, I think of the hymn At Calvary. Or we sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing, amazing grace, and on and on and on we could go. It's not wrong as you sing those and you're thinking about what Christ has done for you and you're thinking about the truth and the doctrine that song is pushing forth. It's not wrong to shed a tear. No, many times I have, and I know you have as well, thinking about what the Lord has done for us. It's not wrong to shed a tear thinking about our Lord and Savior hanging on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for you and me. That's not wrong. We are not told that the only way to be spiritual is to just sit on a pew like a bump in a log and never make any movement. That's not what the Bible says, no. But we do need to understand that there is a right and wrong way to worship, amen. But what you're going to find is in these places that stir people's emotions, you find all kinds of ungodly behavior. You find many people doing things that it doesn't bring attention to God. Lord, help us if something was going on in any of our lives and that we were doing in the name of worship, but if a person saw that, they would think that we were acting in the flesh and not worshiping our God. No, everything that we do should bring glory to God. Emotions are not a bad thing. Thinking about what Christ has done and shedding a tear and saying amen and things like that, that's not a bad thing. We have feelings, we have emotions. It's okay to agree and to get emotional, if you will, thinking about this truth. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4, if you will. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6 and 7, notice the Bible says this: be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice there, we see the peace of God, it will keep your heart and your mind. And he goes on to saying, whatsoever things are true and honest and all of those things, and talking about how we should think on these things. But in that passage there, understand, he's talking about the peace of God. There are a lot of people that say, well, I just can't have the peace of God. Oh, you can, but also there's people that think that just because they're shedding a tear, well, I'm experiencing a blessing from God. No, that's not it either. Understand, we are not to be emotionless, but we should not be emotion-led. I want you to look also at Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 through 8. Luke chapter 5. In verse 1 through 8. Here in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 8, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. And the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Notice, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which are in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink." Now notice here, when Simon Peter saw it, notice he saw what Jesus did. He saw the work of Christ there. He went out. He did exactly what Christ did. He got more fish than he had ever seen, most likely at one time in his whole life. And it says, "And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Notice verse 9. "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken." Now understand there, Peter believed one thing, and Peter felt one way, but when Christ was revealed to him, what happened? That all changed. There was this fisherman that was no doubt trained in the way of fishing. No doubt he was a strong, burly man. No doubt his hands would have calluses on them and all of that from all the work that he would do. And here was this man, and we see him falling at the knees of Jesus. I can't help but think that maybe some tears were streaming down his face when he was saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner." Emotions are not a bad thing. They're not at all. It's a good thing to realize what we are before an almighty God. I agree that many people who claim to win souls are not winning souls at all, and they're merely manipulating emotions. But notice, evangelism is not all emotional. When the Holy Spirit brings a person to the knowledge of him and they are met with their sin, it must stir something inside. It must prick their heart. Emotions are real. But notice, emotion doesn't end at the time of salvation either. Some people, the last time they shed a tear or said, praise the Lord, or amen, or hallelujah, or something like that, the last time they did that was the day they got saved. Church, it shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way at all. It should be very real in our lives what Christ has done for us. It should be very real in our lives. We should rehearse that over and over in our minds, saying, this is exactly what I was. I was a sinner, and praise the Lord, now I'm a sinner that's saved by grace. It's okay to shed a tear because of what Christ has done for you. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 16 through 21. Acts chapter 17, verse 16 through 21, the Bible says says this. "Now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit," notice, "was stirred in him. When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." You want to do what the Bible tells you to do, preach Jesus and the resurrection. Amen. Notice verse 19, "And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Notice there in the very beginning, it says this in the very first verse we read there in verse 16. And while Paul waited for them at Athens, notice his spirit was stirred in him. Now, yes, the Holy Spirit was doing a work. The Holy Spirit helped him to see these people that needed Christ, that needed to he needed to preach to there. But notice his spirit was stirred within him. He saw a group of people, and no doubt it was something that brought him to tears, no doubt. He was saddened that these people did not know Christ. He saw the city wholly given to idolatry. That word Saul there at the end of that verse, it means this, that he spiritually discerned where those people were. No doubt it made him very sad to see the spiritual condition of these people. You know, as we look at our town and as we look at our state and our country, and Lord help us, our world as well, it should stir us. It should stir us. Notice, though evangelism is not to be emotion-led, it cannot be emotion-less. So the first wrong belief about evangelism is that it is all emotional. Notice number two. The second wrong belief about evangelism is this. It's all about entertainment. It's all about entertainment. You know, I think all of us would agree that entertainment and the entertainment industry can be and have been used for many evil things. The way of entertainment has been used for a very, very long time to propagate some evil philosophy, and has been used, in my opinion, to subconsciously mold the minds of people into a certain belief system. We can all see that. We can see the evil things in our world that come to our eyes and to our ears by the way of entertainment. However, we also see that not all entertainment is bad. But some people will say this, well, if you're evangelizing, well, it's all in the name of entertainment. All they're trying to do is pack a building so that they can entertain people. Church, it's not that at all. I would like nothing more than to see every single one of these seats filled, but it's not so that we can entertain someone. It's not so that people can come in and say, oh, well, that was a great time. Well, I had fun there. No, it's so that we can preach and teach Jesus Christ, letting people know that we're all sinners, and we're if you've never trusted Christ, you're on your way to hell. Understand, that's not an entertaining message. If we're evangelizing, biblically speaking, it's not about entertainment. There is nothing wrong with doing things that are fun, things that are good. But understand, evangelism is not all about entertainment. You know, I love having Vacation Bible School. It's entertaining, amen. And we'll have fun and games and all of those types of things. And some kids will get rowdy, and kids will eat candy and all of those things. But what is it that we want to make sure they leave here with that night? It's the truth of God's word in their heart. That's what we're doing. We want to get them the truth. It would be so easy for us to just say, you know what, parents in the community, just come and drop your kids off. We'll pick them up on the bus. We're going to have fun and games and feed them all kinds of food, and then we'll bring them home. That would be easy, but it wouldn't be right. The right thing is giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ, letting them know that this world is going to lead them astray, but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will never lead them astray. You know, as long as we are not being carnal, if you will, entertainment is not wrong. I do not believe it's wrong to own a television. I do not believe it's wrong to own a smartphone or other electronics. However, they can all be used for good, and they can all be used for bad. But there's a lot of churches and organizations out there that use worldly entertainment as a way to, quote, win the world. It's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, or some of you do, I'm pretty sure all of you do, you know, the missionary family, Jason and Cherith Otteson, of course, to Papua New Guinea. And I was talking to Brother Jason Otteson, and of course they are, some people say they're in the bush. Well, they are in the bush of the bush, amen. They are out there, the place where they have to land a plane that's closest to their village is in the middle of these mountains, and the plane has to circle and circle all the way down into there. And if the wind hits it just right, they have to go all the way back up and then try it again and come back down and try to get a safe landing. They are out there. And when I was talking to him, he was telling me about the place in which they built their house. And he was telling me how they had this piece of land that they were able to acquire. I can't remember if they bought it or if someone had given it to them, but they were building a house, he said, and he built it on the side, or close to the edge of this large ravine there. And at the bottom of this ravine, the main town that they evangelize in, the main town that they are trying to reach, it's at the bottom, and their house is way up here on the hill. And he was telling me, he said, all day, he has a radio with a loudspeaker preaching down. It has preaching coming out of that speaker at that town from where he's at. Now, there's a lot of people that use loudspeakers and radios and things for bad things, aren't there? That doesn't mean it's all bad. He's proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people in their native tongue all day. It's able to preach to them. Praise the Lord for that. Understand, that is not using worldly entertainment. No, that is doing what is biblically correct and getting the gospel into the minds of these people. But there's many churches today that if a lost person walked into that building, they would see the same dress and they would hear the same beats that they heard on Friday night at the local rock concert. Lord, help us. Shouldn't be that way. Church, we have never once been told to be like the world to win the world. We're told to come out from among them and be a separate people. That's what we are told to be. People should hear a clear distinction between the music of the church and the music of the world. Listen, I love music. Music is a great thing. The Bible has much to say about music. I love singing the hymns of the faith. I love to hear special music. It's a good thing. However, the main part of our service is not the music. The main part of our service is the preaching of the Word of God. But most churches today, and I would go as far as to say 80, maybe even 90% of their service is mostly music and entertainment and a little 10-minute devotion, if you will, at the end. Why? Because to them, it's all about entertainment. But that's not the way that it's supposed to be. That's not what we've been called to do. They have all kinds of ungodly music and smoke shows and performances by people who care more about pleasing man than pleasing God. They have used worldly entertainment as a way to get people there. And understand this, if you get people there with worldly entertainment, you're not going to keep them there with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you get them there and you let them know that they need a Savior, you get them there and they hear that there is something different about this Christ. They hear that there's something different about that music. There's something different. It's giving glory to this God. That will cause them to say, I need to know this God. But that worldly music will not do that. It won't do it. You see, there's many events that are structured to entertain rather than promote the name of Christ. People have access to entertainment around every corner. We as the church, we are to offer something different than that. We are to offer them the name of Christ. So notice, first of all, we see it's not all emotional. Notice, second of all, they say it's all about entertainment. It's not. It's about preaching the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice number three here. Notice it's just, this is what they would say, a wrong belief. It's just easy believism. I've heard that many times. Maybe you have as well. Maybe you haven't. I can guarantee you this. You talk to enough people, you're going to hear that term. You talk to enough ones that call themselves believers, they're going to say that if you go out and you knock on someone's door and you give them the gospel of Jesus Christ and you tell them all they have to do is trust in Christ as their personal Savior and they can be saved, they'll say, that's just easy believism. No, that's Bible. The Bible says there in Romans chapter 10 that that's all they have to do. We'll turn there here in just a little while. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts 16, verse 31. It's pretty simple. Notice verse 30. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, you have to keep the sacraments and you need to go to church and you have to be baptized and make sure you study the Bible. And no, that's not, it doesn't say any of those things. What's it say? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he tells them. There are some people who think that evangelism and door knocking and tract distribution, they are just ways of easy believism. That's a term that you'll hear very often. And they say easy believism. But in reality, though it is easy to trust Christ, when you hear this term easy believism, what they are talking about is this idea that all you have to do is recite a prayer. That's what they're talking about. Well, all you're trying to do is get someone to say this prayer and just put another notch in your belt. Well, I led another person to the Lord. Church, that's not evangelism. That's not what it's about at all. Our goal is to obey Christ. If he allows us to lead someone to the Lord by the Holy Spirit convicting their heart, and he allows us to have a part in that, praise the Lord for that. But our goal is to obey the Lord in giving people the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just this easy believism, just repeat after me kind of prayer. There's a church not too far from here, and they're all over the country, but there's a church not too far from here, and many times they practice this easy believism. Now, understand this. I'm not saying that the ones that practice this, I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying that they're not good people. Someone, the Lord can take mistakes that we make and use even through those things, despite our mistakes, and get someone saved. Understand that, that God is all-knowing, amen, and God is righteous. Praise the Lord for that. But the truth of the matter is this. There are some people that have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, but they've been taught that this is how you lead someone to the Lord. Just get them to say this prayer. Some people don't know better than that. They may be good people, but they're wrong. Understand this. The Lord saves people not because of how good we are, but despite our feeble efforts. Amen. What I'm saying here is that there are people who claim to be soul winners. They claim to be evangelizing, but their only intent is to get someone to say some prayer that's 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. That is not evangelism. It's not. So when someone says, well, I don't go soul winning because, it's just easy believism. It's just all about getting someone's emotions worked up. It's just all about entertainment. So I don't do that. Well, what they're saying in a truer statement would be this. Well, I don't believe God can save people, or I don't want to obey God. That's what they're saying. They're making up all kinds of excuses. All kinds of wrong beliefs in their mind. But the truth of the matter is this, that it's not all emotional. It's not all about entertainment. It's not just easy believism. No, but it is easy to get saved, and praise the Lord for that. If it wasn't easy to get saved, I would have never figured it out. I wouldn't have, but praise the Lord, God made it easy, amen. He said, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. It is easy to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is more than just words recited, but understand also that the belief that saves is more than just believing that Jesus Christ exists as well. It's not about getting someone to admit that there is a God or that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not even about getting people to admit that Jesus Christ died for sins. No, it's the guilt in our own heart. My sins. I'm on my way to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ paid my sin debt. Confessing our sins, repenting of our sins unto God, and trusting Christ as our personal Savior. It's not just this easy believism that they say. You know, the Hindus believe that Jesus Christ existed. You know, the Muslims believe that Jesus Christ was real. They believe he was a prophet. Even the Mormons believe that Jesus Christ was real. They also believe that Satan was his brother, just many crazy things like that. They believe he's real. Just getting someone to believe that Christ exists does not mean they're saved. They need to believe that he was more than just some preacher, that he was more than just some prophet. Just the mere belief that he exists does not save someone. You see, church, all of these arguments, if you will, that people will use, you're going to hear these things. Well, it's all emotional. It's all about entertainment. It's just easy believism and all of that. That's why I don't do it and all of those things that they would say. They may think that we should focus on something more than this, but the truth is this. This is what we have been commanded to do. There is nothing wrong with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing wrong with the way that God told us to give it out. It's just wrong beliefs about it. And isn't it true with anything that the Bible says, you're going to find someone that has a wrong belief about it. You're going to find that there's many people out there that say, well, I just don't believe that, or I just don't see it that way. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe or how you see it. It's what the Bible says, and we should be focusing on that. Yes, there is discipleship. Yes, there is church planting, but in order to be a disciple, people must be saved. In order to plant a church, there must be a man to pastor that and faithful people to serve there. It all comes back to winning souls. It all comes back to we as believers obeying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it all comes back to. We may never lose sight of that. You know, there's many counterfeits out there, of course. We discussed some of those tonight with easy believism and those things. Many people act as though salvation is all about working up emotions, and there's many who think there must be entertainment in order to get people saved. Ones who think that easy believism is the way to get people saved, just repeating a prayer, but that isn't true at all. Just because there's counterfeits out there doesn't mean that we have to stop doing what we're doing. You know, the ones that use these type of excuses and have these wrong beliefs and all of that, and the ones that say, well, that's just not me and all of that. Understand, I truthfully believe that they have seen some ones that are counterfeits. And they've been turned off because of what they've seen some people do. I understand that. There are counterfeits out there. But let me ask you this. If we're going to throw out all of that because there are some counterfeits out there, then here's what I would ask them to do. Well, what I'd like you to do is I want you to go and empty your bank account and throw out all your money. Well, why? Because there's some counterfeit bills in the world. There's some counterfeits, so that money, it just must not be good. You see how crazy that argument is? But that's what you're going to hear. Well, I don't do it because of this. And all of these excuses, and there's these wrong beliefs about it. Church, we need to understand this is what the Bible tells us to do. Must never lose sight of that. It's so easy to spot the real deal, if you will, in evangelism because it's laid out in Scripture. Though there are wrong ideas about evangelism, let's not allow that to hold us back from doing what God has told us to do, from evangelizing the Bible way, from using the Scripture to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Anyone that tells you it's hard to be saved, or you have to work to be saved, we'll take them to this verse. Notice Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Wow, that sounds pretty hard, doesn't it? Now, it's so easy to be saved. We complicate it. That's what happens. People come up with all kinds of different things to complicate what the Word of God truly says. Look, there are wrong beliefs about evangelism. And as we continue on through these soul-winning helps, we must be aware of these things because there are going to be some people that try to use these excuses on us. There will be some people that have been saved for a very long time, and they may say some things like this. Understand, we need to know what the Bible says about evangelism and be able to combat these wrong views. Emotions are not wrong. Entertainment is not wrong. It is easy to be saved, but understand it's not all emotional. And it's not all entertainment. And it's not this easy believism that these people try to say that it is, just repeating a prayer. No, it is calling upon the name of the Lord, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Let's keep in our mind these wrong beliefs and know exactly what God's told us to do. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before